Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Rowan County Judge Executive Harry Clark. Harry, thanks so much for being on the show.
Good morning, Leanne, and thanks so much for having me.
We want to talk a little bit about the fiscal court meeting, the regular April meeting that was conducted this week. But before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about what's happening in the community. Obviously, we're a month into quarantine measures that have been taken due to the COVID-19 pandemic, and some things have been changing since the last time we talked for Open Mic. Obviously, Rowan County at this time now has two new confirmed cases.
We do, Leanne. We have two new confirmed cases, and they, we've got a low rate for a couple reasons. One of the biggest reasons is the citizens of Rowan County are just excellent people to work with. They're caring and they're compassionate, and they have been doing their very best to follow the guidelines that's been issued by the state and local government. So that is a huge help to everyone when we're doing our self-distancing, doing all those things, those guidelines. So those numbers are low, and those numbers are low because of the citizens of Rowan County doing what we've asked them to do. The other reason I think we're a little low, no doubt we're low, is the fact that, when this first kicked off, there was very few tests available to any of the states, and certainly down to the county level. But there were very few tests, and the requirements to be able to qualify, if you will, for that test was pretty stringent. You just about had to be, lack of better terms, I guess, you almost had to be on your deathbed and in a high risk category before you could actually qualify for that test. So since then, those restrictions have been released. There is more tests available now to the public. You can't get a test just to see if you've got it, or you can't get a test just so you can tell your neighbor you had one. You still have to meet certain requirements, but they have, because of the number of tests available, they have loosened some of those restrictions, who qualifies for the test. So there will be more tests. There will be higher numbers coming, I believe, because we're doing more tests. But yes, this COVID-19, it has affected everyone. It's affected families, it's affected businesses, it's certainly affected the county government. It's just really affected the way we do business, that we are normally, the way we normally do business. It's really had a huge impact on that. But at the end of the day, we will get there because we are Rowan County. We've proven that we can do what we need to do in order to make things work out. And I just can't say enough about the citizens of Rowan County. Oliver, in the fiscal court meeting, I didn't want to say thank you to certain individual groups because they're really, there is no in particular group. It's just everybody needs a big thank you. And I wanted to extend a personal thank you to the young folks that are out in front of these retail stores that are watching folks come in, and they're reminding them to do social distancing, and they're asking them to only one household per person. And I know they get some pretty harsh words to them occasionally, but please don't do that. They're the messenger. They are simply doing what we have asked them to do. They're doing a remarkable job under these circumstances, and they're doing that to protect the safety of not only the folks inside the store that you may or may not know, but they're doing it to protect you as well. So just, when you walk past those folks doing that job, and trust me, it's a thankless job, say thank you for what they're doing. And I'd really appreciate that from the county judge. I'd really appreciate if you would take your time to say thank you to them. But everything has just changed. It has, and everybody knows that. And our hearts go out to the folks that have been affected by this, the businesses that are hurting. But we are, again, we are Rowan County, and we'll come out of this, and we'll be stronger for it.
Now, we are getting some guidance from Washington and, of course, from Governor Beshear about some things as far as reopening and the plan that's been in place. And you guys, during the fiscal court meeting, kind of talked to the emergency management director, Jim Hampton, about that particular thing. That's kind of his wheelhouse right now.
It is. And, you know, we will follow the lead of the governor. He has certainly provided the leadership to get us to this point here without with a much fewer number of deaths than had originally anticipated, and fewer cases, positive cases of COVID-19. So we're certainly going to follow his guidance and his direction. And you're absolutely right. We are and have been from the day we started going in on what I'd call lockdown. We've been trying to figure out how we'll back our way out of this. And we've been thinking about that in the county level as well. And of course, Jim Hampton, our emergency management director, is he's just an exceptional individual that has the foresight to understand how this process will work. But, you know, we've got to think about how we are going to do it, and masks available for people in the courthouse if we go that route. There's a lot of moving parts here that we have to put together before we can even come close to coming back, opening back up to the public in any kind of normal fashion. So it will be strictly we will follow the guidance from the governor, and then we will release our hold, if you will, on this gradually. But we'll be ready for it when it time comes. We won't be holding up waiting on us. We hope we'll be ready.
Now, is there anything that's new in the community that has made changes? You know, I feel like at this point we've kind of done as much as possible as far as implementing shutdowns and making sure people are social distancing. At this point, is it kind of just riding the normal until things get better, or are there still some additional changes that have happened?
No, I think everything's the same. I think our job as leaders and individuals that have any influence on the public is our job at this point is let's hold our own. And we need to be motivating the folks to stay the course on the guidelines, but we definitely need to be motivating them to do so. And really that's our job now. The guidelines are in place. We should be encouraging everyone to stay with those guidelines. And because the next couple of weeks, if we get lax on following these guidelines and we start going the other direction on some more positive cases or anything in that nature, we're just delaying the ability to get back to some kind of normalcy. So it's very important if any influence that anyone has, we need to just keep with the guidelines, stay focused, and we'll get out of this in some sort of a more normal fashion the longer we stay with the guidelines. So that's my spiel now is we've just got to encourage and motivate people to stay the course.
I've been watching your Judge Executive Facebook page for different things that change and when we have new cases in the community. And one thing I've noticed is you're trying to encourage people to take this time to fill out their census.
Absolutely. Census is extremely important. It was important before this ever came about. But this, I think, really highlighted, renewed the commitment we need for the census. And the example I put out in fiscal court yesterday, you know, in one of these packages that from the federal government, and it apparently was not in phase three, so we're hoping for a phase four. And that phase four is going to be, we hope, some help for the local county governments to get back to normal and help us offset some of the costs that we've incurred from the COVID-19. You know, it cost us more money to do some things, but also from the lost revenue. And they sent me a projected graph of if they did implement a relief package, it was I want to say it was like $400 million would be coming to the state of Kentucky. So I broke that down into population. And if we were to get some of that, and they did. They said Brown County would get like $2.3 million. Now, don't hold me to these numbers because those changed quickly, and I don't see us getting $2.3 million. But in the fairy tale world, if you will, if we did, it comes out to about $88 per person. So it's based on population is what I'm trying to get at. And it was very clear that it was population. So everything we do, touch, get, school, the lunch meals, the, you know, if you're on disability, if you're drawing Social Security, if you're the county judge executive, it doesn't matter. Everyone is affected by the census. And we truly need to get an accurate count because we send that money to the federal level. And all we want to do is get our fair share of that money back. And we can't do that if we don't have the right population count. So please encourage everyone to fill this out. And it is extremely important for everything.
Now, I know that generally when we're not in the middle of a global crisis, the census workers would start coming door to door to try to collect the information for those people who haven't gone ahead and gone online to put their census information in. Do we know anything about how that's going to happen? Is it going to be postponed? Are things going to be like on an extended length of time that the census data will be collected, or are they even sharing that information with you at this point?
They have actually shared some information, and it's kind of a combination of both. They are going to delay the actually door knocking portion of this, and they're going to extend the normal window when you have to report this back and actually it all reports back to the President of the United States. I mean, this whole thing is it's his numbers. They just delay that report to him, but it's not going to be delayed much. So what we really want to do is take advantage of the phone. You know, if you don't have computer capability, or you're worried about doing it on the computer, you can phone it in. And it's pretty simple. It's really quick to do it. And I was reminded this morning, I keep saying it's easy to do. Well, in my post today, when we make the post, you'll see I'm going to lay out exactly what they're going to ask you on this. Because a lot of people think they're asking you for how much money you make, all of these things. The only thing probably they're asking that would even closely be personal would the two things is your phone number. And I don't think that's very personal because everybody has that now. And the other thing is, are you Scottish, Indian, you know, whatever your nationality is? And of course, most folks in the United States, we're really not sure. So I just picked one and went with it. So that's really the only intrusive two things that even could be considered be intrusive. So, but yes, they're going to extend a little bit. But just don't. The ideal is let's get this done as quick as we can. You can call it in. You can do it on your iPhone. You can do it on a computer. And it's extremely important to do it. And you're going to hear from me until the end of this whole thing is over with about harping on this till we get it done.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, Moorhead, it's Mayor Laura White Brown, and we can raise $10,000 in 10 days. I will dye my hair green. We wanted to do a fun way to get people to donate to the Round County Community Fund COVID Response Fund. This is a fund that was started within our community, and it will directly help people in our community as a result of the pandemic that we're all facing. We know that these are tough times, but we want to find a way to still help those in need. We know that small businesses are suffering. We know that individuals and families are suffering. We know that essential workers are suffering. But as a community, we are here to support you. I'm hoping that this challenge will bring a little lightheartedness that we can all smile about, especially if you see me walking around town or in council meetings with green hair. If you would like to donate, you can look up the Round County Community Fund COVID Response Fund online.
I'm Maria Hinojosa, this week on Latino USA. Advice for life in self-quarantine, advice columnist John Paul Bremer imparts his wisdom for these strange new times.
It's sort of like the whole world is a little bit sick right now, and you don't run marathons when you're sick. You go take a rest.
That's This Week on Latino USA. Saturday mornings at 7 on WMKY at 90.3 FM.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Open Mic here at Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Rowan County Judge Executive Harry Clark. Harry, thanks again for tuning in.
Thank you.
We are conducting our interview today via Zoom. Like most organizations across the country, across the world, everything has been adapted to a new normal because of the COVID-19 pandemic. And the fiscal court actually met via Zoom for the first time this week. Harry, tell me a little bit about that transition.
Well, it was definitely different, Leanne, and I guess the one thing that we noticed right off in fiscal court, you know, we can't have a quorum, so we couldn't do a practice run on anything, because if you have more than three individuals, you have a quorum, so we couldn't do a practice on this. So what we did was just straight up live and with no practice, no effort, but it went very well, I think, you know, and I think it really benefited the public. We live streamed it to Facebook. And we all along since even when I was running, I said we would be more transparent and we would get to that. And I had actually intended to roll that out sometime later on this year, but we rolled it out earlier. So that was really, truthfully, that was one positive thing came out of this. It lets more people be informed of what we're doing, how we come to a decision. But it was definitely different. It was quicker because, I don't know, it was a camera shy, I guess, but people didn't ask as many questions. But it was a good meeting. It was shorter, and we learned from it.
The fiscal court did get a lot of things accomplished during the meeting. One of the first items of new business was the acceptance of road material bids. We started to do that during the meeting and then had to wait a little while longer to make sure you didn't go over on when the bid time ended and you were able to open those. Can we expect, I mean, even knowing that the materials have been accepted, the material bids rather, are Rowan Countyans going to be able to expect to see a lot of road work this summer?
You know, Leanne, that's going to depend on our folks at the federal level, whether they give us some stimulus money to help us recoup from what we're losing now. If we continue the way we're going right now, we don't get any stimulus funds. We will do very little blacktopping. You know, we will have to live with essentially what we have because we had to reduce that amount of money considerably. And the state, you know, is not in any better shape than the county. And I'm not blaming the state. They have to do what they need to do to make their budget balance. We won't see a lot of work. I kept money in for gravel. I kept money in for cross drains. Because we'll have to do those regardless of what the what our revenue stream is. We have to keep the roads open. So we looked at it pretty hard, but you won't see the amount of blacktop going down this year unless we have some money from the federal government helps us out.
One of the other things that was discussed was the renewal of Rave Mobile Safety Contract, which is a relatively new company. The fiscal court decided to change to that company just last year, and it was decided that that bid would be renewed for another year.
Yes, we, you know, when I first took over, we had what they call Code Red, and we did a tornado drill. I think it was actually on the 17th of March, and it was a horrible result in contacting folks through Code Red. We only contacted 1,300 people, out of 11,000 households. You know, we had 24,000 people, but I think there's about 11,000 households. So anyway, we only we contacted 1,300 people. And, you know, in truly an emergency, that's just totally unacceptable, especially coming out of my background when, you want to get a hold of somebody, you want to get a hold of them. So we switched to Rave, and they have, there's been some kinks in it, but it has been a tremendous improvement over what we had before. And I think one of the real benefits to Rave is they can give us digital, they give us readouts of who we contacted. Who I get reports every time we have, if we want to send it out, I get a report back of how effective it was. And it's pretty doggone effective, I can tell you that. And we can target specific areas with it. If we're going to close a road down for repair, and we use that quite often for the county road department, if we're going to close a road down, we can contact just the people on that road and say your road will be closed from 9 till noon. And it's been working very well. So we're pleased with them. They were cheaper than Code Red. I think we saved about $6,000 on this deal, and they're more effective.
The fiscal court also approved a contract with the Montgomery County Detention Center. How will that affect the local jail here?
Well, we have to have a contract with each county that would potentially house inmates in our detention center. And if we don't have a contract, then obviously it's like anything else. They would not have to pay us if they didn't. So we update this throughout the year. Montgomery County came up this month. There'll be other counties or surrounding counties for sure. We make agreements with those. And it's just for the amount of money. It's $35 is what we will charge Montgomery County if they house inmates in our detention center. So it's just one of those homework things that you have to do each year for each county that you do. And I'd like to say while we're talking about it, our inmate count went from 345, I believe, the day that we passed the budget in March. It is currently sitting, and I check this every day, is 225 inmates. So you can see at $35 a day for the counties or $31 a day for the state, you can see how that also has impacted our revenue stream to help pay for the jail. So, our budget is being attacked in revenue from every angle. Ambulance runs are down. That revenue's kind of went away. Payroll and occupational tax, the detention center, and I know we've got the budget coming up on their discussion, but I just thought I'd throw that out while we're talking about the Montgomery County Detention Center.
Right, absolutely. That was the next thing that I wanted to bring up. The fiscal court was forced to do a second first reading of the budget for the next fiscal year. Obviously, the first reading of the budget is kind of null and void because so much has changed and so much revenue that was expected now can't be expected because so many businesses are closed down for at least one quarter. We know that already, but possibly even longer, which will have some really significant implications for the county.
We've got, just like any business, and we are a business, it certainly has affected us. We have laid off 17 individuals in the county, two part-time, 15 full-time individuals to compensate for some of this. But now that's not all just revenue that we were worried about or cost. Some of these folks, we were concerned, and I'm still concerned, that if we have a big outbreak of COVID-19, I had no reserve forces. If one person got it in the road department, they would all get it, and I wouldn't have anybody to go out and get the tree out of the middle of the road or do the things that we need to do on a daily basis just to keep our infrastructure moving. So I made a conscious decision that I would lay off half of them and keep those folks in reserve and keep half of them out working so that we could. And it also gave us a benefit that it did reduce payroll. So all of those, the courthouse folks that I laid off, it helped us with payroll, but it wasn't so much the payroll. It was more along the line of just trying to keep the office staff at a minimum. So if we did one of us get it, we didn't spread it to everyone. And again, they were in reserve. But our budget has, as I just mentioned, we've really taken a hit on it just like any other business. And it's bleak, as the newspaper said this morning, but it's nothing we can't overcome. We look at these numbers, and we'll just tighten our belts. We are in Round County, and we're all used to it. It's no different at home. If you thought you were going to get some extra money and you didn't get it, you went through it, and we will. We'll do just fine. We're going to certainly keep the services. If you call an ambulance, it'll be there, and all the other services are there, and we will keep those.
I know one of the things that was in the first budget that was not in the second version of the budget was raises for county employees. Obviously, that's not in the agenda for the new budget, and which is regrettable, obviously. But is there anything else that had to be changed significantly going forward?
Well, the pay raises, we've got some of the greatest employees anywhere, and we were trying to reward those with the cost of living allowance increase at 2.3%. And when this came up, of course, we just can't do it. We can't afford to do it. And they understand that, for the most part, they understand they can't. The other things that really took it was we had talked about before was blacktop, and we took money out of the blacktop fund, the road department. We also cut the jail budget $225,000. Folk Arts Center, we were contributing $25,000 to them, and we've rolled that back to help them with utilities. But, that's coordinated between myself and Dr. Morgan. We've discussed all of this. And I guess while I'm at this point, and I know we're in the budget, I'd like for the community to know that the partners that we have with the university, MCTC, the hospital, the city, all of these folks, we are really working very well together. We reflect what the community does for us. They work well together. We work well together. And we have a conversation sometimes daily, but we do have a conference call weekly. And the way we're in sync on this is because we communicate. So I'm very, very proud and very pleased to be a part of the community leadership that we're really working hard and working together.
And unfortunately, that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. Judge Executive of Round County, Harry Clark, I really appreciate you spending some time with us today.
Thank you very much, Leanne, for having us. And it's always a great benefit to have a radio station that's helping us educate the folks on what we're doing.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Moorhead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.